Things that bump in the night. Things that creep us out. Voices from another realm. The figures that move out of the corner of your eye. That odd light in the sky.
Everybody, it came from Amity. This is Casey, and across from me, as always, is Noah Weddle.
Your faithful ride or die.
That's right. You got me, boo-boo. All right, so.
Let me guess what we're talking about today.
What are you going to guess?
We're talking about screen sharing.
Close.
Were you AirPlay?
Rideshare? I don't know.
What was it called?
Remote viewing.
That sounds like screen sharing, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
And for those of you in the know, I know it sounds like we've talked about this before. Like we talked about astral projection and we've talked about like stuff like this before. Remote viewing is a little different than astral projection.
Every time I hear astral projection, I just think of violent diarrhea.
Why?
You're projecting out of your astral.
Oh, I was like, what?
He's got some astral projection.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. All right. So, but yeah, so they're similar, but they're different in a lot of ways, and we'll get to that. However, first, something I'm going to get to while we're...
Is it like the uncommon cousin of astral projection? Like a little more uncommon? Excuse me.
It's a little more like unknown. Like it's a little more like people have heard of it, they just don't know what it is, or they think it's the same thing as astral projection.
Okay.
But there are some slight differences, and we will get into that. So, yeah, let's kind of just get into it and discuss what remote viewing or RV is. So, basically, to put it in a nutshell, it is the practice of seeking impressions about a distant or unseen object, purportedly sensing with the mind. So, that'd be like me taking my hat, covering up this pin, and you not see me do it, and go, Noah, what's under my hat?
Right.
And you, by using your mind, can see what's in the hat.
Is it like Schrodinger's theory? It's neither alive nor dead?
No.
Because no, I'm just joking.
You are now able to see, using your
through
mind,
it,
the sense that you can see what's under the hat, right?
It's like X-ray vision.
Yeah. So that is essentially what it is. And it used to go by another name. So
you can tell what's on the other side of doors and what's in a house,
room,
if somebody's home or not.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So that is essentially what it is. And it used to be called, where did it go?
You think BTK Killer had that? Where you could see if you're home or not and which room you're in? Because he would just climb in and go to town. He knew.
He just knew. Well, I mean, he was... like scoping
stalking
out the
him
house. So, I mean, he got your rhythm and your pattern.
How dangerous
would
that be, though? A serial killer with that talent.
Oh, that'd be...
That would be absolutely carnage.
Oh, yeah. Because then he would know everything.
Yeah.
So, basically, it was kind of coined by these two guys, the phrase. They were physicists named Russell Targ and Harold... It's either Puthoff or Puthoff. I'm not sure which, but they were... parapsychology researchers at Stanford Research Institute. And basically what they wanted to do was to separate that particular gift from clairvoyance is what they wanted to do. They wanted to basically separate the two gifts or the two abilities. And according to Targ, the term was first suggested by Ingo Swann in December of 71 during an experiment at the American Society for Psychical Research. And if you have listened to us enough or you're big into parapsychology anyway, then that name, the American Society for Psychical Research, would not be unknown to you. You've probably heard that phrase before. or that name of that for society before. So remote viewing experiments have historically been criticized for lack of proper controls and repeatability. But anybody who knows anything about parapsychology or paranormal, it's hard to repeat things.
That's why there's no proof or evidence of it.
Yeah.
There's science. Science is all about repetition and be able to create that same process, right? Yes. And you just can't do that.
Yeah. Science,
over and over and over like again.
If you've ever participated in a science fair, that's one of the things that they drill into you is that you have to be able to repeat the process and get the same result.
More than twice. Lots of times.
So,
and there's no way you can just prompt the ghost to just show up and, you know.
Correct. So that's why, like, there are a lot of scientists who are rightfully skeptical about the existence of the things that are unseen or unknown, because it cannot be repeated in a controlled fashion over and over again. Now, let's assume that there are these spirit guides or something that are controlling clairvoyance or RV or whatever. Well, if they are sentient in some way and they want you to see what that is, and versus they don't want you to see it this time, or this entity wants to show itself versus not, they're sentient. It'd be like me and you. It'd be like if I was to call your phone every afternoon at 2 p.m. rather.
Right.
There is no way for me to know that you're going to pick up the phone every afternoon at 2 p.m.
Right.
So
I could be going to do something.
You'd be napping.
Right.
You could be taking a poop and you're like, I'm not taking calls because I'm pooping.
Yep.
You know, you could be having an appointment with a client. You know, so by the scientific terms, without knowing what's going on the other end, science can say, well, maybe no, it doesn't actually exist. Or maybe no, doesn't actually have a phone.
Maybe sometimes I wonder that too. Maybe I don't actually exist. I'm just living in somebody else's world, baby.
That's right. It's your
world, and I'm just living in it.
You're in the Matrix.
I'm an NPC.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder that.
I mean,
you know, there is a theory that each of us live in our own world.
Yeah.
And people aren't actually real; they're just part of a sim.
I remember thinking that when I was a kid. Except I was like, what if everybody's robots? Like, as a kid, I was like, what if everybody's robots?
But, like, feelings and love and all that stuff is just programmed into your world. Yeah. Like, they don't actually feel that. That's why. And as soon as they're gone, let's say mom goes to the grocery store and you stay home. She just doesn't exist once she leaves your sight. Once she's gone, she's gone.
Right.
And then she just comes back in like a Mario game.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
And just shows up with all the goods. Yeah.
That's insane, dude.
That's kind of insane when you stop and think about it. But, so, yeah, a lot of science are like, we don't believe in RV, we don't believe in remote viewing because we can't repeat it. And also, when they try to put up so many controls, then they feel that maybe that it's a hoax, that people who claim to be able to have the gift of remote viewing, that they're just basically making it up, or already know what they are ahead of time.
Lucky guessing.
Yeah.
Right.
Or they know what the objects are going to be in the next room, or under the hat, or under the box, or whatever. But like I said, if you're familiar with parapsychology anyway, or the paranormal, you know that a lot of things cannot be repeated in a predictable, repeated fashion.
Sometimes things just happen, too.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Like pareidolia. Sometimes it just happens.
Yeah.
Where you can see a face in a window and...
Dude, I could tell you what it was weird one time. Like, here about 3 years ago, I was doing laundry in my bedroom, and And I've got these deep purple blackout curtains in my bedroom. And they were literally, like, one, the fan was blowing against this one curtain, and it had folded it in such a way that it looked like a woman's face in the curtain. And I remember, like, staring at it for a second, thinking it was going to do something. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I was like, nah, that's just the way it's folded. And it was, but it looked nose, cheeks, chin, mouth, eyes, hair. It was...
I've done that before in the dark with, like, my coat on a chair, and it looks like a person. God. Scares the crap out of you.
You
jolt awake real quick, you know? Yeah.
And you know, sorry. That one crept up on me. And then you go from half awake to fully awake in a matter of, like, a half a second. Now you can't go to sleep for, like, an hour.
Nope.
Because now you're full of adrenaline. And so there is a term for this, where there, like something is, has a name, something has a cause and effect, but since it can't be repeated and it cannot be, especially under control, it's called pseudoscience. Or
fake science.
Fake science, exactly. Then the idea of remote viewing actually was renewed, had renewed attention anyway in the 90s upon the declassification of documents related to the Stargate project, which was a $20 million research program sponsored by the U.S. government that attempted to determine potential military applications of psychic phenomena. The program ran from 1975 to 1995 and ended after evaluators reached the conclusion that remote viewers consistently fail to produce any actionable intelligence information. So what did that mean? It meant for about 30 years, the government did testing in the hopes that they could use remote viewing to essentially spy on their enemies. Is essentially what they were trying to do.
Like using a drone.
Yeah. And then when for 30 years they tried this, and when they couldn't come up with anything consistent, they're like, well, this is not working out for us, and we scrapped.
Was this what that Men Who Stare at Ghosts movie was about? Using like intellectual warfare and
partly
paranormal warfare.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, in part, that's pretty much it.
Training people to be able to be clairvoyant. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
So it goes back as we, far as we know, to like early occult and spiritualist literature.
I love that movie, by the way. It's funny.
What's that?
Men Who Stare at Goats.
I've tried to watch it and I couldn't get into
it. It's a dark sense of humor, but it's really funny.
Yeah.
You know? Rewatch it sometime. Give yourself a chance.
I'm going to have to.
Stick with it. Don't turn it off.
Okay.
Just stick with it.
I'm going to power through.
Right.
I can do that. Like a poop. So remote viewing actually had a name before remote viewing called telethesia or traveling clairvoyance. There is a famous parapsychologist and paranormal expert. She died back in, I believe, 2019. Her name was Rosemary Guiley, or some might know her as Rosemary Ellen Guiley. She's been on Coast to Coast AM. She was on the Paranormal Podcast frequently with Jim Harold. Think she made it one or two appearances on the Astonishing Legends podcast. She's been on tons of paranormal documentaries. She wrote tons and tons of books. Like, she was very, very famous and sought after in the parapsychology and paranormal world and field of study. But she described it as seeing remote or hidden objects clairvoyantly with the inner eye or an alleged out-of-body travel. So supposedly you could use astral projection, possibly as part of the RV experience. The study of psychic phenomena by major scientists started in the mid-19th century. So people have been studying this for a while. People claiming to have the psychic gift. I can see into that box. I can see into the room, the next house, whatever. Early researchers included people like Michael Faraday, Alfred Russel Wallace, Rufus Osgood Mason, and William Crookes. Basically, their experiments would be like specific individuals who are thought to be psychically gifted. And then what they'd do is they would do that thing where they would put it in a box or under a hat. Here's an object. Can you guess what it is?
Right.
And they'd be able to see it, the color, the shape, everything.
That's crazy.
Some of these experiments were successful. Some of them were not. In the 30s, J.B. Ryan expanded the study of paranormal performance in larger populations by using standard experimental protocols with unselected human subjects. So basically random people. But as with the earlier studies, Ryan was reluctant to publicize this work too early because of the fear of criticism from mainstream scientists. This is part of the reason why parapsychology always gets a bad rap. Not because these facts weren't being revealed, it was the fact that they weren't being revealed because they were like, I don't want to look like a crackpot, because some of these people were legit scientists in their day. But because they had these questions about, does, you know, remote viewing exist? Does ghosts exist? Do demons exist? because they wanted to understand the unseen things, and they would do these experiments, and they were like, well, I've got my findings. Yes, they might be positive or they might be negative, but I'm not going to report them, because if I do, I'm going to look like a crackpot and I'm going to lose all credibility in the science community.
Right.
Nowadays, these types of things are actually gaining a lot of steam. More and more scientists are starting to...
People are more open-minded about stuff now, too.
They are. And I think what it boils down to is a lot of scientists are also like... Especially ones who have had experiences of their own or known people that have had experiences are like, there has to be something to it or else so many people wouldn't be talking about it.
Right.
So there's a lot more study about, you know, trying to communicate with ghosts, demons, astral projection, RV and stuff like that, trying to figure out if there's anything actually to it. Again, the problem lies in the repeatability of it. So that is still the biggest obstacle when it comes to these types of things. Of course, with the new age way of thinking since the 60s, RV and astral projection has become more and more popular. In the 70s, we talked about them earlier. They kind of paved the way for the RV way of thinking, you know, as far as like, is RV real? Also, in the late 70s, there were the physicist Taylor Eduardo Balanovsky tested the psychic Matthew Manning in reviewing, and the results proved completely unsuccessful, meaning psychic Matthew Manning didn't see what he said
didn't
he
could perform. See.
Failure to launch.
Yeah.
One of the early experiments lauded by proponents of having improved the methodology of remote viewing testing is raising future experimental standards was criticized as leaking information to the participants by inadvertently leaving clues. I don't know how you inadvertently leave clues, but apparently they were.
It's like stuff that magicians do.
Yeah, like reading the crowd,
tricks,
I guess.
Yeah. So.
Maybe like looking at certain people and like, what color is it? And you hear some like mouth, like the word blue.
Right.
You know, they mouth the word blue. Oh, it's blue.
They can read body language and know mm-hmm. that you're, yeah.
Exactly. Some of these people are just really good at conning people. They're just right. really good at crowd work, you know, reading people. The viewer's advice in the Stargate Project was always so unclear and non-detailed that it was never been used in any intelligence operation. There was a lot of stuff here talking about the military, of course, because if it has anything to do with parapsychology, there is definitely some kind of military operation to try to prove its relevance and possible use on the battlefield.
Well, that's what the military does. Anytime there's anything that they can use, yep. they're going to research it and try to figure out. I mean, that's just, they've always done that, you know?
Exactly. And of course, the science community was less than embracing RV and astral projections. Apparently the Church of Scientology got involved in 1970. They published a notarized letter that had been written by Puthoff while he was conducting research on a remote viewing at Stanford. The letter read in part, although critics viewing the system Scientology from the outside may form the impression that Scientology is just another of many quasi-educational, quasi-religious schemes, it is in fact a highly sophisticated and highly technological system more characteristic of modern corporate planning and applied technology. So apparently the Church of Scientology really liked the idea of remote viewing because, well...
Of course they did.
It's the Church of Scientology.
Right.
So... As we said here just a second ago, there were sensory cues, inadvertent clues. So what were tipping these people off? Mouthing words. If they were like, well, which box is it in? You'd have people like eyeing the box it was in or in the room it was in. People mouthing certain clues or their hands reading, you know, because people are going to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the
poker.
Exactly. Exactly. You're looking for facial cues, hand signals, and they're not even intentional.
Right.
It's just the fact that they're being done because people are people. And they kind of, and it's almost like they're hyping themselves up because they want to see it succeed.
Yeah.
And so they're like not even paying attention to the fact that they're giving this.
Also, there's characteristics in people. Like if there's a red, white, and a blue ball, people are usually going to probably pull the red ball, you know?
Right.
Like, that's just, it's like a color thing that your brain has.
No, you're right. Yeah.
So.
No, you're dead on. So what do we know? Like, so in the total thing, like, and that's kind of like, I know this is like kind of a short episode. I kind of selected it to be short for a reason because we were going to do the draw anyway, which we ended up doing the draw separately. So, kind of shot that all to hell a little bit, but, so here's the thing. Astral projection, psychic ability, RV, what do they have in common? What do you think?
Being able to view something in a space where you're not physically at, right? And kind of know
the testability of it.
Right. Know what's in the surrounding area and just scope something out.
I mean,
that's kind of where they're similar.
That is where they're similar.
Astral projecting, your mind is leaving your body.
Right.
With this, you're just kind of a psychic.
Yeah, you're seeing it.
Right.
They're
similar. They're very similar.
They are very similar. There is a part of me that would love to believe that RV is real or possible, but there is a huge part of me that's like,
there's certain magicians who do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like if they can do it and they're not psychic,
no,
they have tricks to do it.
Yeah.
And any street person can learn how to do that, right. You know?
It's very, it does put a wrench in the cog when it comes to parapsychology because, you know, I think the study of parapsychology is very interesting and I think that we can learn a lot about the unseen world, but it's right. Given a bad rap because of stuff like this, where you have these people who are like, oh, well, I can do this and I can do that. And then it's like, well, then you put them to the test and they can't. But, and then they end up lumping like the ability to communicate with spirits into the same thing. Like, well, you can't do it repeatedly. Therefore, like RV, like astral projection, it's not the testability isn't there. So it must not be real. But it's like, well,
I mean, there's countless evidence of people calling the FBI saying that I had a nightmare or I had a vision or I had this, that planes flew into the 9/11 and into the towers. There were people who predicted it on the day down to the time and nobody listened to them because it was just like, you're a whack job.
Right.
I feel like there is a possibility that certain humans can be told that something's going to happen or can have that vision, that insight, but we just don't believe it. And, you know, and if we did believe it, at least take precaution. If somebody said, I mean, that is such a, the 9/11 thing, like there is proof that people predicted that, right? It's proof. And they just shunned it off. But it's like, you need to listen a little bit, you know? Yeah. There's been tips about school shooters before that are ignored. There's been tips about all kinds of stuff that's just ignored.
Well, there's like,
the Mothman guy, like that was ignored. Yeah. The woman that saw the bridge collapsing, yep. You know?
And, well, here's another one too, and I think you'll like this if you have ever heard of the name Edgar Cayce.
Maybe.
So the guy, he was like this like country bumpkin from, lived down in Tennessee or Kentucky or something like that. But the guy was able to go into a trance and supposedly, now this man grew up a diehard Christian, right? And he, Noah, damn you.
I know, dude. I am so tired today.
But, so he starts saying that he's being communicated by these entities and they're giving him like the ability to see into the future, to see things that haven't happened, to see places that he's never been to. Look it up. Like, he's a very interesting character.
They just laughed him off, probably.
Well, and a lot of people did.
Yeah.
But yeah, and by the way, he doesn't spell his last name the same way I spell my first name. It is Kayce.
I mean, the way I see it, if you listen to him and it didn't happen, at least it didn't happen. But if you don't listen to him and it does happen, you just killed, or you had, you let people die or get hurt or whatever. So it's like, what's the worst that could happen by listening to somebody, you know?
I will say, if you guys are interested in like the idea of remote viewing, then looking up the subject Edgar Cayce, the things that he predicted, the things that he said will be of interest to you, because there are some predictions that he made
that were true,
that ended up being very true, and this man had no way of knowing this stuff.
Nostradamus predicted a lot, you know?
Yeah, he did. I think the thing that always kind of buggered him down is how vague his predictions were.
Because it was stuff like he said there will be a great virus.
Yeah.
You know, like, a great health scare. But it's like, well, yeah, but that happens every 50 to 100 years anyway. The plague, the Spanish flu, the COVID, like, that's normal.
Yeah, that's stuff that happens pretty frequently. So it's like, I mean... there was some stuff, though. There was like the prediction about Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
Of course, he misspelled the name.
But there's been a lot of Hitlers in history.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of tyrants and dictators. So he was the worst one.
Yeah.
But there's been a lot like him.
Well, I would say he was the worst one. I'd say Stalin takes the cake on that one.
Yeah.
Stalin killed way more people.
But as far as evil intention, I think Hitler was worse than Stalin. You know, as far as, and world domination, and I don't know. We'll get into that sometime.
But Edgar Cayce had, he said some things that would make you possibly lean more into the remote viewing, because he definitely was astral projecting, but definitely remote viewing to a point. So if you're interested in remote viewing, definitely look at Edgar Cayce. We could talk about him sometime. He's definitely an interesting character. That was weird.
My dogs are over it.
Well, I saw something out of the corner of my eye, but
you'll do that in here.
But yeah, so
there's definitely stuff in here.
And I agree with that. So anyway, that's kind of our little spiel on RV or remote viewing. I know it's not an in-depth thing. It's kind of hard to get into real in-depth with something like that, kind of like astral projection. If you go back and listen to that episode, it was pretty short too. For what it was.
Yeah, we don't really have a time limit or a time buffer.
Right.
We talk about something and until we're happy with it. So
with Edgar Cayce, we could make that could be literally an all-day thing.
We'll do that sometime. We'll do an episode on him.
But he's an interesting dude. Like I said, and if you guys take the time, I think you'll find it. That's a pretty interesting case. Astonishing Legends, I do believe, if I remember right, they covered him. I know they did. And I think they made a 2 or 3 part series out of that. I think it might have been like 2 full parts, and then a third was like part that, and then part about something else. I can't remember. It was like a couple years ago when they released that one, and I listened to it. But it's been a couple years ago. But anyway, thank you for listening to this episode about remote viewing. Please go to our Facebook page, and you can see the drawing when we did the Facebook Live to basically you can see who won. I'll be contacting winners later on this afternoon to let them know that they've won and get their mailing addresses.
And if you don't answer within a week, we're going to move on to another name.
Yeah. So I will keep the names that didn't get drawn.
And that's just a disclaimer. If you do not answer us within a week from today, you're not going to win it.
Yeah, there's no point.
Right.
So
there's people who are attentively listening and wanting to win. Right. But
if you do want them, like, so I'll be messaging today and we can set up arrangements. If you live close, we can meet and get it delivered to you that way. But like I said, I think Mike lives out of country now. He was living in Arizona, but I don't know if he still does. Anyway, so thank you for listening, and join us again here in about 2 weeks for another episode of It Came From Amity.
Bye-bye.